It's Harvest Public Media's Field Notes. I'm Jessica Najunas. Today on the show, how scientists and journalists get along. Exciting things happen when two creative minds collaborate. Google founders Larry Page and Sergey Brin, both computer science PhD students until they dropped out of Stanford University in the late 90s. In the art world, Pablo Picasso plus Georges Braque gives you cubism. All of these famous and productive couples have something in common. They found a partner in someone who could speak their language. Communication experts at the University of Missouri understand. They want to help create fruitful collaborations between very different people, scientists and journalists. But they found it takes training.
Okay, time is up for interview number two, so you can wind those up.
In a conference room in Columbia, Missouri, trainer Mary Schoen is leading several University of Missouri research and teaching scientists through mock interviews with real journalists. I was there too. The point was to help these professionals relate their expertise to a non-science audience.
Oh, no. Okay, so let's see. My elevator pitch was...
Sherry Friermuth teaches science, like biotechnology, to non-science majors at the University of Missouri. She spent 2 days in the workshop where she learned to hone her elevator pitch.
So I teach students just the basics of biotechnology, help them to understand how to evaluate what they hear, see in the media around them. And my goal is to make them lifelong learners so that they can make informed decisions, whether they're stepping into the grocery store, doctor's office, or the polling place.
She says scientists generally struggle with the idea of having to dumb down their specialty for an outside audience to understand. After all, they've spent years studying, researching, and publishing. How could a regular guy perceive the significance of their work?
I feel like we all struggle with this. So it's not just me, you know, it's not just an insecurity I have. I think many scientists feel this way. We're not really trained to do this. And so even though it's so important, we need to get the message out there. We need to let people know what's going on. We're not always very good at it or very comfortable doing it.
In the scientist-journalist collaboration, the success of the interview depends on both people. Journalists, too, have to learn the science and then unravel it for their listeners. I called a great science translator to help explain how he does it.
My name is Ari Daniel Shapiro, and I'm an independent radio and multimedia producer based in Boston.
Is it true? Do scientists have difficulty dealing with journalists?
I think it really depends on the scientist. And I've certainly interviewed a number that are so eloquent and so excited and transparent about that excitement in terms of what they're telling me. And then, of course, I've interviewed people on the other end of the spectrum where they have kind of a harder time expressing themselves in a way that might be understood by a general audience.
One time, he interviewed a chemist who was convinced that her story would fall flat once it ended up on the radio. So he tried a different approach and asked her questions like, "How long have you been a chemist?"
And she said, "Why, I really don't want to tell you how long I've been a chemist, because that would give away her age." And to me, that was a very human sentiment.
That's what he needed to bridge the gap with this story. Start with something most people could relate to.
So-and-so has been studying chemistry for longer than she'd like to admit, and her lab notebook proves it.
Last November, Shapiro worked on a story called Fish Forensics. It was about scientists who used DNA to identify different populations of fish within the same species.
And it was very technical. I mean, you know, there's a lot of detail involved. And the scientists were focusing on a lot of the details. And I tried asking kind of more general questions, tried having them draw analogies.
But it just didn't work. So Shapiro asked the chemist to show him some pictures.
And so she took me over to the computer and she pulled up this image and it was so beautiful.
Can you just describe what it looks like?
It's hard to explain. It's like stars in the sky. It's full of spots of different colors, green and yellow and red.
But those spots aren't stars. They're fish proteins visualized using a laboratory technique.
You know, scientists have to cater to two or three different levels.
Braden Kuo is a gastroenterologist at Massachusetts General Hospital, and he teaches at Harvard Medical School. He says the first level is made up of peers.
You're talking about a group of people that are extremely focused in what they do.
The second is the greater science community. Then Kuo has to be able to explain to non-science people why his research is important and how it might help them. And that's what Kuo is up to right now. When New York artist Stephanie Barden came to him and said, want to work together? Eventually, he agreed.
I'd gone through countless avenues to try to find a gastroenterologist willing to even listen to me about this project.
At the end of January, they posted online a video that shows Barden and Kuo's preliminary findings on the first ever trial of processed food versus whole food on the human body. In under 4 weeks, it's already racked up over 1 million hits on YouTube.
We made the noodles on the right with water, salt, and eggs and flour from the farmer's market. The noodles on the left contain, among the other 15 ingredients, TBHQ, which is the acronym used to describe tertiary butyl hydroquinone, which is an antioxidant that comes from petroleum and is related to butane. You know, the gas used to fill cigarette lighters.
They gathered one meal of processed noodles, gummy bears, and blue Gatorade, and then a second meal comprised of a homemade version of these foods, and then fed them to two subjects. Then they used a digital camera capsule device, the sort of thing used during a colonoscopy, to record what happened as each body sorted out the food.
This is trying to add scientific rigor into this discussion about food processing and the amount of food processing and additives to see what impact it has on our digestive tract.
In the video, the ramen noodles and Gatorade take a lot longer to digest than the homemade foods. But the two say they won't know the real scientific value of their project until many more trials are completed. In the meantime, through science and art, they've created their own sort of language so that we don't have to translate.
When I first contacted him, he was very, very skeptical, and rightfully so. He kept insisting that he was very conservative.
You can imagine an artist from New York coming in to meet with a physician scientist.
When I had initially conceived of this project, I kind of had somebody that was sort of a maverick in mind who'd be willing to do something like this.
Science is fairly rigid. You have a hypothesis, and you may not necessarily prove it or disprove it, but science moves in a very linear direction. Working with artists, oftentimes it's not that linear.
So we're at this conference, and they were talking about some of this new technology. And the keynote speaker got up to talk, and Brad got up to ask a question. And it turned out that Brad was actually advocating on behalf of this new technology to an audience that was very resistant. And I said, oh, there's the maverick right there. He is a lot more mavericky than I had expected. And I think it was just seeing him in his environment, and it made me understand the parameters of science in a much more robust and clear way.
That's it for Field Notes. To see the ramen noodle Gatorade gummy bear video, go to our website, harvestpublicmedia.org.
Harvest Public Media is a reporting team based in four Midwestern states: Missouri, Nebraska, Iowa, and Kansas. We're here to tell stories of the farmers who feed us and explore issues surrounding the production and consumption of food and fuel. You can find us online at harvestpublicmedia.org.